Meantime, I just clarify, this is not me, okay? If anyone was confused, it happens all the time. Looks like me, but I appreciate that. I'm like a few decades older than me, but okay. Okay, so those Rambam should be making their way around. And we can start with that first, and then we're going to move on to the main part of this year. Maybe we can actually just also thank you. That would be great. Okay, so there are two different sheets that are circulating at the moment, one which looks like this, and one which looks more like a Rambam. Okay? And everyone should be getting those two different sheets. That would be very helpful to get both of them. So they're kind of, they should circulate. Everyone should have two different sheets by the time we're done. How are we doing with those sheets? You think this is tough? Wait till you have a fire drill.
We failed our fire drill.
Did you?
Here?
No.
My school managed to fail
the fire drill. Pretty sad.
We failed our fire drill.
We didn't have one fire drill.
Okay, we almost have, we're getting there. Okay, keep on passing the sheets around. Oh, you people are in a bad spot for sheets, I think. But okay. Down there, all the way down there. Okay, so let's get started. We can continue to quietly circulate those sheets. Let's get started. We have a lot to cover and some very, very important things. Okay, to begin with, I'm going to ask everyone to take a couple of minutes to look at the Rambam that's bracketed off, and especially the line that's underlined. The Rambam that you're about to read is probably the most famous and most quoted, but I'm not misquoted, Rambam in this time of year. It's hard to get through, maybe impossible to get through an Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Yemei Tshuva, without hearing this Rambam quoted, and I would argue misquoted. So please take a moment to just read it carefully before we get to what it says. Everyone, please take a look at the part that is bracketed off, and especially the line that's underlined. Just curious, how many people have seen this Rambam before or heard it quoted before? Is it all familiar? Okay. Okay. Take a moment to read it through carefully, then we're going to discuss it. Okay. The Rambam is usually quoted in the following way. Ki'ilu, the Rambam says, this is not correct, this is how it's usually quoted, that the Rambam saying that the sound of the shofar is like an alarm clock. The analogy is often given. That the sound of the shofar is like an alarm clock, it wakes us up to do tshuva, and it's supposed to, supposed to awaken us from our sleep. The way it's generally read is, even though Tkiat Shofar Rosh Hashanah is a Gzeret HaKatuv, nonetheless, Remez Yeshbo Kilomar Uru Yishenim Mishnatzim. The way it's usually presented is, incorrectly, you'll see in a moment, that although the blowing of the shofar is a Gzeret HaKatuv, nonetheless, that blowing of the shofar contains a hint at the idea that you're supposed to wake up and do tshuva. Why? You know, other other than the fact that I'm just innately in Mechutza. But why would I come along and say such a thing that people always misread this Rambam? Based on what? How do I know that that's not the Pshat in the Rambam? How do I know that the Rambam is not saying what I just said? That the Rambam is not saying that even though blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is Gzer Takatup, but nonetheless, that blowing the shofar has there's a hint, there's an idea, and that idea is Urushainim Mishanatsan, that you should wake up and do tshuva. How do I know that's not what the Rambam means? It's based on one word. Raise your hand if you know the word. Yes. Okay? There is a more powerful word, though. It may be, but there's something that's more definitive. I wouldn't argue with the whole world based on that one word. But there's one word that's clear. Give someone else a chance. Go ahead. That's not why the standard pshat is wrong. I don't think there's something more glaring. Something really... Yes. We haven't got it yet, but we're running out of words, so we're going to get it eventually. Yes. Okay, should I tell you what the word is? Yes.
No.
One more time. Uru? No. What? What? Anyone have it? Okay, the word is... Ready? Bo. Okay? The Rambam, if you look in Hilchot Shofar, consistently differentiates. When he talks about the tkia, when he talks about the blowing of the shofar, so the word that is used to refer to tkiat shofar is, of course, not bo, but ba. Okay, it's the ba, because tkia is nekeva. Okay? When the Rambam says of a remez yesh bo, it could not possibly be referring to the blowing of the shofar, to tkiat shofar, because then it would have to say of a remez yesh ba. Okay? What does the Rambam really mean? No, so the way to read it properly is af al pi shetkiat shofar b'rosh hashanah d'zera takatuv, although the tkia, the mitzvah, the act of blowing the shofar, the maisa, is gzeret melech, it's gzeret hakatuv, but there is a remez in that blowing of the shofar. That's not true. Blowing the shofar is gzeret hakatuv, the end of discussion. It's a mitzvah you can't translate into anything else. It's a mitzvah, period. This is the Rav talks about that, what that means, the idea of that, the end of the halachic mind, not halachic man, but halachic mind. But that's a different issue. But the Rambam then goes on to say, Avo remez yesh bo, not in the blowing of the shofar, not in the mitzvah, not in the act of blowing the shofar, but rather, what's the bo? No? What's the bo? No? Look in the Rambam. What does Rambam say? Tkiat shofar, the blowing of the shofar, is a gzeret hakatuv. But there's a remez in it. What's the it? What's the bow? The shofar itself. The object of the shofar, the thing that we use for tkiat shofar, contains a remez. Now, if you want to know why it contains a remez, that's a different shiur. Okay? That's not what we're going to talk about today. I just want you to be aware that the way it's usually learned is wrong. You have to look in the Rambam, Mar Nebuchim, Michael Gimel, Parakaf Dalid, and so on and so forth. And to really understand what the Rambam is saying here, but that's not our topic. What I want to bring out is the following. That very often there are things that are so simple and so obvious and so basic. And what could be more obvious than, it can't be talking about Tkiat Shofar if it says of Arem Ez Yeshba, right? Isn't that obvious? That's pretty simple, right? That's fifth grade stuff. And yet, I've hardly ever heard, had a Rosh Hashanah go by, a Tzarek Mei Tshuva go by, where I haven't heard some Talmud Chacham misquote this Rambam, mistranslate this Rambam. Hardly ever happened. It should be Aleph then. It's so obvious. It's so simple. That, of course, of a remez yesh bo, whenever the Rambam says bo in this type of context, in Hilchot Shofar, it's always referring to the shofar, not to the tkia. But it's very interesting, and I always talk about this, you may have even heard this from me before already in these few short weeks, that in Hebrew, especially in classical, medieval Hebrew, the word sod has a double meaning. It means both something that is secret and hidden, and something that's fundamental and basic. Okay, and that's a very important idea, that the most obvious, basic, fundamental things are often the most hidden, are often the most, or say the least, well known. Case in point, here we have a Rambam that's quoted every year. You never don't, you always hear this Rambam. And yet, what's going on in it? Well, again, that's a different shear, and what the Rambam's talking about, what it is that the shofar, I'll just tell you, I'll break it out, that it means that the shofar itself, which is a, according to the Rambam, has to be shal'ayil, is a remez to akedat yitzchak, the ayil of akedat yitzchak. And if you look at Mar Nebuchadnezzar, you see the same ideas that he highlights here about Uri Sheni Mishinatzam are the ideas that the Rambam talks about as being the two ideas that we learn from the Akedah when he talks about it in Mar Nebuchadnezzar. But in any case, be that as it may, it was just an illustration in Yanei Dioma about this principle. So now let's turn to something which is what you prepared, hopefully. Those who didn't have a chance to prepare, you're still invited this year. But the thing's not here, right? I emailed them. Okay. I did mail them in. I emailed them. So it doesn't matter. It's fine. We're going to plunge ahead. I want to share with you a perspective that I think is going to change the way that you look at the year. It should be circulating. I made more than enough copies. There should be enough of them. I just don't know where they are. They're making their way around. Okay. Thank you very much. There's an idea, a perspective, which I hope will shed light for you on the entire process of the Chagim, not just now, but throughout the entire year, and really help you understand many, many different things in Tanakh, in Halacha, in Minhagim. It's a very fundamental thing. It's very yisodi, it's very basic. In that sense, it's a sod. But it's also, maybe, I don't know, it took me at least, I know, a long time before I realized this. I remember exactly when I realized it, and I was already married, and I was learning in the Beis Medrash at YU, and all of a sudden I was learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah, was during Elul, and I was going over Masechet Rosh Hashanah, and I came across, I was going over this machloket between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and an idea hit me, and ever since then, like, you know, I keep on finding more and more things that allude to this idea. But let's start from one step before it. One step, it's a different piece, but it connects. It says in the Torah, in Shmo Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, second source on the sheet, Vayom Adonai Moshe, O nega echad avi el al paro v'al mitraim, acharechein yishalach etchem, kishalacho kala gareish gareish etchem mizeh. In describing Yitziyat Mitraim, it describes in terms of gerushin, being kicked out, and shiluach, being sent out, words that generally have a negative connotation. And one fine year I was thinking about this pasuk, and it struck me how strange it is that this should be how he describes it, the Yitziyat Mitzrayim, the great Geula, the paradigm of all Geulos. What's going on? Why do we describe it that way? And I had an idea. And as often happens when I have an idea in Tanakh, I ran to tell my wife, and I said, Geula, you got to hear this. I just noticed this thing. I don't know what it means, but it's really cool. Okay. Said, what is it? Said, this description of of Shiluach and Gerush from Yitziyat and from Mitzrayim is the same way that the Torah describes Adam and Chava being kicked out of Gan Eden. And of course, being the good wife that she is, she laughed at me. And said, that's ridiculous. She said, what are you talking about? How do you compare being kicked out of Gan Eden to Yitziyat Mitzrayim? One is so positive, one is so negative. How could it possibly be? So I went back and thought about it some more, and realized that on this one occasion, it happens infrequently, but on this one occasion, I was right. I'm not going to tell you about all the other times, but on this occasion, I was right. I came back at her, not instantly, I have to admit, but I did come back with the following pasuk. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud in Bereishis, the top pasuk in the Tanakh. Vayisa lo tzeinah vayar kol kikar yarden ki kula mashkeh lefnei shecheir Adonai tzedom vet amora. Describe area of Sodom and Amorah of Kikar Yarden as Kigan Hashem to Eretz Mitzrayim. It was like Gan Eden, like Mitzrayim. And Chazal points out, it's obvious in the Pasuk, that here we have a comparison, we have an equation between Mitzrayim and between Gan Eden. And so what I was suggesting in Shemot, that there is a parallel between the expulsion from Mitzrayim and the expulsion from Gan Eden, is not something that I made up, it's something that already is foreshadowed in the beginning of Bereishis. We have it right here in Bereishis Perek Yud Gimel. Aha. So, we have to understand what that means. Why? What's the point? What's the Torah telling us? But there is an equation. There is a parallelism. And by the end of the Shiur, that Hashem will understand why being kicked out of Gan Eden, being kicked out of Mitzrayim, are parallel ideas. Okay? It's not immediately obvious, and that's why my wife laughed at me, but I think that it's right nonetheless, and we'll see what that's about. Okay, so for this we need an imaginary blackboard, a whiteboard. Okay? Everyone's got some current. It's okay. How are your imaginations? Can you do the imagination thing? We'll do the imagination thing. Okay, here we go. Imagine a whiteboard. Okay? And here, we'll draw a circle. Okay, I draw much better on imaginary whiteboards. Anyhow, so it looks up. So we have a circle. And this circle represents the cycle of time. Okay, this is the cycle of time, the year. Okay, the Jewish year. And if you picture the circle right here at the top, okay, at 0 degrees, right here on the top, we're going to put suggestions from the floor. What should I put on top? What day should I put on top? Okay, you like Rosh Hashanah. Fine. Work to me. Here we go. Which Rosh Hashanah? Masechet Rosh Hashanah says there are four of them.
No,
there's only two major.
Aleph Tishrei.
Okay. Anyone want to give me a different day that should be over there? I'll work with that. But
Aleph
Nisan. Okay. So how many people want Aleph Tishrei? How many people want Aleph Nisan? How many people have trouble choosing what color socks to wear in the morning? Okay. Fine. So, a lot of indecisive people here, I see. Okay. They're going like this lemon or that lemon and doing, you have to make big decisions in life. Okay, so here we go. So we have here this circle. And again, how many people for Aleph Tishrei? Raise your hand. How many people for Aleph Nisan? Raise your hand. Right, Goldsmith, what was it? Who had it? Tishrei 1. We'll start with Tishrei. Okay, here we go. Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei, we know, we're going to be saying in a few hours, Hayom Harat Olam, right, the birth of the world, the beginning of time for mankind, time begins for the world, it's Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year in terms of certain things at least, and that's Aleph Tishrei. Okay, we move a little further, 10th of Tishrei, Yud Tishrei, and the 10th of Tishrei is, of course, the day of when we try to separate ourselves from Averot, we try to recommit ourselves, strengthen our commitment to Mitzvot, it's the day of Kapara, day of Tshuva, 10th of Tishrei. Okay? We move on a little bit further to the 15th of Tishrei, which is, of course, Sukkot. And Sukkot commemorates what historical event? The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perakot Gimel. Sukkot commemorates what historical event, though? Right, Sukkot. At what point? Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, right? L'man yedu dorotechem, kipa Sukkot hoshavti b'nei Yisrael, v'hoti otam me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? So it's that we were placed in Sukkot, and there are three different interpretations just in Tanan as to what that means that we're put in Sukkot, right? Does that mean huts and booths? Does it mean ananei kavod? Is it the place named Sukkot, which was the first place we encamped after we came to? Whatever it is, each one needs to be studied by itself. Whatever it is, it's the Sukkot that we were placed in Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Tas of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And of course, everyone asks, starting with Gemara, well, if it's commemorative of Yitziat Mitzrayim, what's the problem? Why is it in Tishrei? What's it doing in Tishrei? Either it was something that happened all 40 years, all year long, or something that happened someplace around Nisan. It's not something that happened in Tishrei. But okay, we have lots of answers to that. Let's put it on the side. Let's move forward. So we have the 15th of Tishrei begins, and we're only going to speak at first to begin with. Get ourselves started. We're going to talk Minat Torah. Okay, we're going to talk Minat Torah. Midah right. So we have here now, starting on the 15th of Tishrei, a holiday of the commemorates the Yitziat Mitzrayim. How many days? 7 days. Okay, 7 days. And it reaches its culmination with a Yom Tov called Simchat Torah. We'll get to Simchat Torah in a few moments, but what?
Shmini Atzer.
Okay, Simchat Torah is there, but it's not Minat Torah. Yeah. From the period of the own way. Okay, that's the Minat Torah. Okay, good. So, I just went through Tishrei. Okay, but let's be fair to all the people who said Nisan. Okay? Washmoli, you know, about half the people said Nisan, right? So let's take a look, and instead of putting Tishrei, Aleph Tishrei on top, let's put Aleph Nisan on top, keeping in mind that this is 180 degrees, right? It's the exact parallel point, it's the other pole of the year, correct? Right? We have Aleph Nisan, Aleph Tishrei. And let's start with Aleph Nisan. Okay, for those of you who want to start with Tishrei, just turn it around 180 degrees, and let's start from the beginning again. Aleph Nisan, says the Torah, you have right in front of you, Perek Yud-Bet of Shemot, very famous Pesukim, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. Explain the Mefarshim, it's not only the first month, but it's the beginning of time for Bnei Yisrael. So we start Aleph Nisan, it is essentially the beginning of the year, the beginning of time for the Jewish people. Okay, so Aleph Nisan is the beginning of time in many different ways. Okay, in the sense of the first month, in the sense that it's the beginning of time for Bnei Yisrael, because we count from Yisrael and Mitzrayim, that's when we become a nation, we start to have control over our own time, and so on and so forth. Aleph Nisan. We come then to the 10th of Nisan, and the 10th of Nisan, we have a very important event called, we take the carbon, right, take the carbon of the staff, the carbon Pesach, and the Torah says, Dabrul b'nei el kladat Yisrael le'mor, besor l'chorosh hazeh v'ichu lahem ish se l'beit avot se l'bayit. Come into the Mechilta, into the middle of this first line, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, what does it mean, mishchu ukhu, mishchu yideichem me'avot azara v'idabku b'mitzvah. Okay, in other words, this is a monumental event. The Jewish people are there in Mitzrayim, they're steeped in the culture of Mitzrayim, and what are they told to do? To take the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim and to take it and bring it as a korban, and this was a huge thing. It meant that they had to totally separate themselves from the belief system, from the practices, from the culture of Mitzrayim, from the Avodah Zarah and the Avera of Mitzrayim, and with tremendous Mesirat Nefesh, commit themselves to doing the opening mitzvah, right? These are the first mitzvah of the Torah, Parashat Zelachem. This is the very beginning of mitzvah for Bnei Yisrael. So we're told, move ourselves from Averos, commit to mitzvah. That's the 10th of Nisan. Okay? We move now to the 15th of Nisan. And the 15th of Nisan is, of course, the holiday of Pesach, which commemorates what historical event? Yitziat Mitzrayim. And it's how many days in the Torah? 7 days, okay? By the way, throughout all of Shas, you'll find one sugya after another that talks about a famous Zereshava of Chamishasar, right? We learn all kinds of things from the 15th of Nisan to the 15th of Tishrei, back and forth. For example, we know that whereas there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah kumit of eating matzah all throughout Pesach, but the chiyuv of achilat matzah is only the first night. Similarly, Sukkot, right? There's a mitzvah of eating in the sukkah throughout Sukkot, if you're going to eat a meal, etc. But there's no chiyuv to eat a meal except for first night, and that's because of this Zereshav, Chamishasar, Chamishasar. And there are so many things like that. There's Havaminas, Maskanas, all over Shas, Chamishasar, Chamishasar, these 2 7-day holidays that begin on the 15th that are each commemorative of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And Pesach culminates in a one-day Yom Tov, which throughout Shas, throughout Chazal, is known as what? Well, Shviyash Pesach is a much later invention. I mean, there's a seventh day of Pesach, but it's a separate entity that's kind of a later invention. So I'm saying, there is, what after we have the 7 days of Pesach, what's the next step? That we have Sfira, and it culminates in Shavuot. But Chazal don't usually call it Shavuot, they call it something else. Atzeret, okay? Now, if you follow carefully, okay, what we have is the first, it doesn't matter now, and this is the point, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Tishrei or Nisan, it's the same thing. The first is the beginning of time. The tenth is the period of removing ourselves from Avera and committing to Mitzvah. The 15th begins a 7-day Yom Tov with a special copy the first night, a 7-day Yom Tov that's commemorative of Yitziat Mitzrayim, whether Nisan or Tishrei. You move then to an Atzeret, a one-day Atzeret, either Shemini Atzeret or Atzeret in the sense of Shavuot, and that is the chain of Nisan, the chain of Tishrei, those two chains of Chagim. And by the way, we just finished all of the Chagim in Atzeret. Right? And we think of another one. Good, there are. Okay, that's it. That's the whole thing. And it's an amazing thing when you stop to think about it. This should be like the most, you know, like you should learn from second grade, right? Isn't this something that you should learn in second grade? I don't know if you did. I know I did. And I had to sing there in the base marriage at YU one day, learning Rosh Hashanah, and about how Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua debate what happened in Tishrei, what happened in Nisan, when was the Geula, when was this, when was that, when was the world created? And then I thought, whoa, there's something going on here about Nisan and Tishrei. And I started to take out, I remember, a paper towel and a pen, so I didn't have a paper on me. I had a Gemara that I was learning, and grabbed a paper towel, and I started drawing a circle and looking for the parallels, and I was blown away. I quickly ran to the payphone, this was before the day of cell phones, and I ran to the payphone and called up my wife and said, you've got to hear this, this is remarkable. But let's go a step further. So you mentioned Simchat Torah. Okay, I wasn't planning on discussing really too much about Rabbans and Minhagim, but let's look at that for a moment. So Simchat Torah is a celebration of the fact that we begin and end reading the Torah. Very nice. Is there any reason in the world why it had to be on that day of the year? Could we begin and end the Torah any day of the year? Of course. Could have picked any day, right? Could pick any day of the whole year. But what day do we pick? And this is clearer here in Israel than it is in America. But what day is Simchat Torah on, really? Shmini Atzeret. Okay? Why Shmini Atzeret? What is Shmini Atzeret parallel to? Shavua. Understand why we pick Shmini Atzeret of all days to have Simchat Torah? Right? Shavuot is when Hashem gave us the Torah. The time when we take the Torah, when we are actively involved and we say we're going to start and end learning it, that's on Atzeret as well, on the Shemini Atzeret, on the parallel Atzeret. Right? These are two parallel ideas. Now, once I realized this, I started to see that I wasn't the first to notice this, not surprisingly. And you have the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah that I mentioned, which I have over here and other places. There's a Zohar which makes this point as well. It doesn't talk about everything, but it talks about a pizza, it talks about the 10th and the 15th of Tishrei, 10th and 15th of Nisan. Look through interesting Zohar. There's a Zohar over here you can look at. We're not going to look at the Zohar right now. We're going to look at something else because I think it's much more interesting. There was a genius. There's a genius. An evil genius. Unfortunately, we have a lot of those in history. There's an evil genius by the name of Yerovam ben Nevat. Okay, everyone's heard about Yerovam ben Nevat, right? Founded Malchut Yisrael. Initially, he was supposed to create Malchut Yisrael in command of Hashem through Achiyah Shiloni. Anyhow, but he went and what he did was he caused that rift to be permanent, and he didn't allow them to get back together. He didn't allow Jews to go back to the Beit HaMikdash because then that would reunify the kingdom. Okay, so he goes about. He has a plan. He understands. He's understand the evil psychology of Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat can't go to Bnei Yisrael, can't go to Malchut Yisrael and say, you know what? Forget about Torah. Forget about the Beit HaMikdash. Forget about everything. We're going to start a new religion. No one's going to listen to him. I'll be his king, but he's going to have rebellion on his hands. Jews aren't going to do that stuff. Rather, Yerovam ben Nevat has a way of presenting everything as Torah, but with his own little special twist. So, for example, look how incredible this is. Perek Yud Bet Malach Malach, the last box from the first side, Pasuk Chaktan. Say the Eit Hanel Fayash Shnei Egle Zahav. He makes two golden calves. Vayomer Elohim, Rav Lachem Elot Yerushalayim. It's enough going up to Yerushalayim. Yinei Elohecha Yisrael Asher Lucham Eretz Mitzrayim. You recognize that pasuk? Pasuk Kitisa maybe, right? It's almost letter for letter we have in Kitisa. So why is it that Yerovam ben Nevat makes golden calves? Yes? Beautiful. So why golden calves? Theta ego. But one time we're going to theta ego. So why is it we're going to listen to theta ego? So got a few experts here, Masechet Avos, right? So, what did Hillel say? What did Hillel say? Hevei mitalmidav shel Aaron. Aaron is a great hero of Torah, right? You ask anyone, what do you think about Aaron HaKohen? Wow, great. One, right? Who did the Egel HaZahav? Who made the Egel HaZahav? Aaron, right? What better precedent can you have? what? There's something wrong with making an egel out of something. I'm Mitamidav Shel Aharon, right? I'm following the footsteps of Aharon, the great Aharon. Everyone loves Aharon. And you can include the for example, in other sources, the egel azav was in certain ways an alternative to the Mishkan, right? And Kuzari at length talks about this and others. So the point is, they're saying, you have the Mikdash, and I'm giving you an alternative, just like the egel of Aharon. I'm going to give you, make these egle zahav. And if you look at the psukim, you'll see there's one allusion after another to the cheda egel. But just to show you how true this is, I have a pop quiz for everyone. Here we go. I know there are a lot of people in the Nevi'im Rishonim Bekiyot program. So, here's a question for you. What are the names? If it hasn't been on any of the quizzes yet, it should be. At some point in the year, if you don't mind my saying. This is an important question. It's an important trivia question. What are the names of the sons of Yerubbaal ben Nebat? Sons of Yerubbaal ben Nebat. And this is, and I know the answer, and I don't get my own kids' names right most times, except for a really good name. So, Yerubbaal ben Nebat's kids, what are his sons' names? Ah, you're not up to there yet. Okay, so turn the page and take a look. Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Dalet. Yerubbaal ben Nebat names his sons, ready? Nadav and Abiah, which of course the same as Abiah, right? Now, if someone names their sons Nadav and Abiah, what are they saying? Right? If I'm saying my son's names are Nadav and Abiah, right? What are they saying about themselves? Oh my God, right? And then that person goes and builds Egle Zav. What's wrong with building Egle Zav? I'm being like Aharon. That's exactly what's wrong. So, that's that. That's not the point, but that's background. You have to understand how Yerubbaal ben Nebat operates. So Yerubbaal ben Nebat comes along, and he has a source for everything. He has a pasuk for everything. Watch what he says now. Yerubbaal ben Nebat, we turn back to the previous side. Yerubbaal ben Nebat establishes a new holiday. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the very bottom of side one. Vayal al mizbeach asher asah b'beit el b'chamishah asah yom b'chodesh hashmini. On the 15th day, 8th month, Bachodesh Asher Badam Elibo, in the month that he made up. Okay, anyhow. On the month that he made up. So, Pasuk says. So, he made this Yom Tov, this Chag, on the 15th day of the 8th month. Okay, 15th day, 8th month, makes up this holiday, but notice what it says. It doesn't say he made up the holiday, it doesn't say he made up the day, it says he made up what? The month. What does that mean? First of all, when is the 8th month? Let's start with this. What is the 7th month?
Tishrei.
Tishrei, right. 7th month is Tishrei. So, on the 15th of the 8th month, he makes this holiday. Why did he pick that day? Evil geniuses in the room? Why did he pick that day? Yes? So you're saying, so why particularly that day, though? Why the 8th month? Why not the 10th month or the 12th month? Well, what's special about the 8th month, the 15th day? Where do you get that month? Where do you get that from? Yes. These are all good ideas, but why that one day out of all the days in the year? Yes. Ah. Say that again for everyone to hear. Nice and loud and clear. Just like if you miss Pesach, right? Just like if you miss the Korban Pesach. And therefore, and why do you miss the Karban Pesach? Because you're far from Yerushalayim, right? You're Bederech Rechokah. You can't bring the Karban Pesach, so you bring it a month later. If you miss Sukkot because you're not able to go to Yerushalayim, because you're far away, because you're in Malchut Yisrael, just like there's a Pesach Sheni, let there be a, I don't have time to get back, a Sukkot Shnia or something, I don't know, whatever it is. Makes sense, right? Nisan, Tishrei, Palo, there should be a Pesach Sheni for Sukkot. And so watch what the Pasuk says. It's not a Chag which he made up because it's a combination of Sukkot and Pesach Sheni. It's not a day that he made up. He got the 15th from Sukkot. What did he make up? Because there's no such Yom Tov in that month. It doesn't exist in that. Now watch. You're going to see something amazing in the Torah. And this is something that, like, if you didn't have this perspective, it just wouldn't make any sense. Let's turn the page, please. Side 2. Vayikra Perek Chaskim. And there is not one other holiday about which we find, concerning which we find such a phenomenon. Of all the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Shmini Esrei, isn't that what it is? No other Yom Tov do we find a parallel to this. This is the one and only example in the Parsha of the Moed. Let's take a look. Vayidaber Adonai Moshe le'mor, Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor b'chamishah asar yom l'chor shashvi hazeh chag ha'sukot shavat yamim l'Adonai. So Sukkot, we're told, is in the 15th day of the 7th month. And then it gives us some of the aspects of Sukkot. Okay? Then in Pasuk Lamed Tet, for reasons that are not our topic today, but if you're curious about why it is that it's broken up, you can look at Rav David Zvi Hoffman. He explains why very beautifully. But anyhow, Pasuk Lamed Tet, Af b'chamishasa yom l'chosh ha-shvi 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 b'chamishasa yom l'chosh etc. So we're told, when is Sukkot? Very clear, right? When is Sukkot? In which month? 7th month. So if I were to ask you, when should you celebrate Sukkot? What's the obvious answer? In which month? In the 7th month, Tishrei, obviously. Now watch Pasuk Mem Aleph. V'chagotem oto chag l'Adonai shivat yamim b'shana hukat olam u'dorotem. Bachodesh Hashmi'i Tachogroko. Celebrated in the 7th month. You don't find that by any other Yom Tov. But after it's told us the date, it says, and in that month you should celebrate. Of course, that's when it is. That's when you celebrate it. Why would he tell us Bachodesh Hashmi'i Tachogroko? He'd already told us that was in the 7th month. No? So why did it say Bachodesh Hashmi'i Tachogroko? Telling us that what? You can't make it up a month later like you can by Pesach. That Yerubim ben Nevat is pulling our leg. Yerubim ben Nevat is making this up. That's not true. You can't make up. You can't celebrate Sukkot in the 8th month. You can only celebrate in the 7th month. That's not true by Pesach. Aspects of Pesach can be celebrated later. Comes to Sukkot, when it comes to other things, we have no Havamim. When it comes to Sukkot, we have to be told. Bachodesh Hashvi'i Tachogot. The more you look at the cycle of the year, the more you'll see that every single aspect, the Oraita, the Rabbana, Minha, is part of this pattern, part of this framework. Tu Ba'ah is parallel to Tu B'Shvat. Elul and Adar, you go down the line, everything is parallel. There are all kinds of relations, and you have to spend a lot of time figuring out what it's all about and why they're parallel ideas, but every aspect is parallel. And certainly, the oraitas of Tishrei and Nisan, again, the details are different. Right? Sukkot is a sukkah, and the Avraminim, and Pesach is Matzah. It's different. But at the core, the first night being different, the 15th, the 7 days, the Zechut Yamatrayim, at the core it's the same. Right? Aseret and Aseret, in one case we count up to them, in one case we have it right away. There are differences, there are details. But those are the details. Those are the local coloring. But the basic fundamental, these two chains of Yamim Tovim, these two chains of Yamim Tovim are fundamentally parallel. And the more you look, the more you'll find all kinds of things, including things like the mitzvah of Hakel, and when that comes out relative to other things. And again, we don't have time to go through everything. It's not important for us to go through everything. But it's important to see this basic frame of reference. So, what's the point? This is going to bring us back. We just need a few minutes of introduction. It's going to bring us back to the original question of why the expulsion from Gan Eden is parallel to the expulsion from Mitzrayim to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We have to first just say one word about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We'll do it very, very quickly. And Ezra Hashem, we'll discuss in greater depth later. There's an idea that appears in Rishonim, it appears in the Ramban, it appears in other Rishonim. Yulevi alludes to this idea, but one Mefarish that really says it loud and clear, and spends a couple of pages explaining it, and really says it beautifully, at least the Yisod, and really, really is Rav Avram Saba. Rav Avram Saba was one of the, was the time of the expulsion from Portugal, and very, very, led a tragic but very fascinating life, and was one of the great Mefarshim on Torah. Wrote a sefer called Tzror Hamor. If you haven't ever learned Tzror Hamor, it's worth going out, finding a good farm store, buying a copy, learning it. It's an incredible sefer. The Tzror Hamor in Sefer Shemot says the following idea. Again, it's not the first one to say this idea, or at least the root of it, but he says it really, really clearly. I'm going to say what he says and then add a little bit to it. And if you had a few more hours, I'd add a lot to it, but we'll just add a few minutes to it, and that's it. The Tzror Hamor says like this. It's interesting that in Kiddush every week we say that Shabbat is Zecher. The what? Interesting, huh? Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Riyat. Says the Tzror Hamor, why is that? To explain beautifully. It says like this. He says that it really is Zecher L'maaseh Bereishis. Zecher is the creation, of course. That's what Shabbat is. But we weren't there for the creation. We weren't there, even as a people, we weren't there when God created the universe. But we were there for Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Because you know what happened in Yitzhak Mitzrayim? If you look at the Makot carefully, you see that the Makot were a removal, a negation of all of the Sidrei Bereishit. One by one, the Sidrei Bereishit were obliterated, and when the Makot each came to an end, and the Torah emphasizes how they came to an end. When they came to an end, it was a recreation of the world. And that was how Hashem showed Paro, I'm the creator. And that's emphasized throughout Sefer Shemot, in Sefer Shemot, throughout the Makot. So Rav Amram says, what's happening in the Makot is a recreation of the world. Now, let's pause for a moment. I want to give you one example. Okay, one example of how you see this idea played out that he taught about. Let's give one example, because we need a lot of time to show really how precisely this works when the Torah is an incredible thing. Let's just show one example. How many days of Choshech were there? How many days of Choshech were there? Macha Choshech. Okay, so one answer is six. Good answer. Give me another answer.
Three.
Another good answer. Give me a better answer than either of those two. Wow, that was really good. Okay, excellent. Three and three. If you look at the bottom of the page, you'll see, Vayet Moshe Yadol Shemayim Vayhi Choshech Apelah B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim Shlosha Yamim. L'ra'u ish et achiv l'okamu ish mitatav shloshi yamim l'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'yahor b'mashratam, says Rashi, based on Chazal, choshef shol ofel shol ra'u ish et achiv otan shloshi yamim, stage one, v'od shloshi yamim achirim, choshef mukhbal al zeh shol okamu ish mitatav. How many days of light were there in Maaseh Bereishit? The light was created on which day? Okay, that's a good answer. So, on the first day and the fourth day, right? First day and fourth day. Day one, two, three. Okay, and then there's day four, five, and six. I understand that two sets of three. And that's wiped out. Okay, the idea of four is wiped out in Makot Choshech in a very precise way. And we, as I said, we need a long time to show all the stages of Maaseh Bereishit, all the stages of the Makot and how they correspond. We're not going to do that right now. The point that I want to bring out is the following. With this, we're going to conclude and move on to Hashem's Torah and Mitzrayim. we saw two parallelisms. We saw two things that we saw two parallel structures. Number one, we saw the Nisan and Tishrei cycle. And number two, we saw the parallelism between Yitziat Mitzrayim and the expulsion from Gan Eden. In the Chet of Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava essentially, you see this in Bereishis, you see it in many places in Tanakh, the idea that what basically they did was to say, you know what, instead of Hashem being God, instead of the Creator being God, we're going to take it upon ourselves to be God. And again, this needs a long discussion, as Hashem will try to get this and have a chance, but the point is, the Yitem Kelohim Yodei Tovara, right? The Yitem Kelohim Yodei Tovara, they want to be God in place of Hashem. When Chava takes me to that, it says, Vatera Haisha Ki Tov, what does it say throughout Bereishis Perek Aleph? Vayar Elohim Ki Tov, right? Chava is taking the place of God. Saying, I'll decide what's Tovara, I'll decide what I should eat and not eat. God, who's God to tell me what to do? And so Hashem says, I'll show you. I'll demonstrate it to you. I'll teach you. And so Adam and Chava are kicked out of Gan Eden. They're made mortal. They're shown that they're not God. And in many, many ways, they're shown how they're mortal and that they're not God. That's the expulsion from Gan Eden. Paro, you see this throughout Tanakh, not just in Sefer Shemot. Paro says, who's God to tell me what to do? I'm the God. Right? Leo Rivani Asitini. It's my creator. I'm the creator. Who's God? What are you talking about? What's Hashem? And through Yitziat Mitzrayim, Hashem showed, he redid the Bria, he removed the Sidrei Bereishis and put them back in place and showed that he was God. And if you think about it, Aleph Tishrei, which is the anniversary of the Chet of Adam HaRishon and the expulsion from Gan Eden, and so the Tishrei cycle, which demonstrates, which teaches us, which reminds us that Hashem is God. Talk about Hashem being the Melech on Rosh Hashanah. We talk about the idea of the Chet of Adam and what we learn from it. We talk about the fact that in kicking us out of Gan Eden, Hashem taught us that He's God, that He's the Creator, that He's in charge of the world. The same thing in Yitziat Mitzrayim, in the expulsion from Mitzrayim, the same exact idea exists, except for in a different mode. Right? In Tishrei, the focus on this message that Hashem is God, that Hashem is in charge, is primarily in the mode of Yira, primarily in the mode of Onish, is primarily in the mode of mostly on that idea of the Yamim Noran. In Nisan, the same idea is conveyed to Yitziat Mitzrayim, but in a mode not of Onish, but a mode of Geula. Not a mode of Yira, but a mode of Ava. But essentially, it's the same message. It's just a different side of the coin. It's just a different tone. It's just a different context. And therefore, although this cycle over here, right, this cycle of the 1, 10, 15, etc., expresses itself a little bit differently, the flavor is different, the tone is different, fundamentally, it's really the same thing. Kigan Hashem, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. They're parallel ideas. Nisan, Tishrei is a parallel idea. I think that when we begin to see these little components, whether it be the process throughout the story of the Torah, the narrative of the Torah, from Briyat HaOlam to Yitziat Mitzrayim, or the different pieces of the Chagim, from whatever point you want to start at and going through the entire year, when we start to not experience them merely as isolated events, or different little pieces of information, or different celebrations, but as part of one total package, one process, then at that point we begin to understand them a little more deeply, and each individual component takes on so much more meaning because we understand how it fits into the larger whole. And that's hopefully, what we did over the last few minutes, is a step in that direction. Take the opportunity to wish everyone a Kivam Chatma Tava, Shana Tava, and move on, I think, to our next step.